prayers for our travel and ministry in India, though it was a private trip visiting family and friends, the Lord miraculously in his sovereign plan and purpose, against our will, according to his will, he opened various opportunities for very enjoyable and very profitable ministries in small groups, in discussion, and also ministering the word in assembly. So we are very much blessed as a result of this trip, and we praise and thank God for all the provision and the protection and all the blessings which he has lavishly bestowed upon us. God willing, 2 weeks from today, on June 9th, we will be making another international trip to Malawi, and this is at the special request of Brother Varghese Paul and family to help them in the new ministries they have initiated in Malawi. So pray that our short trip, only for a week, may be a great blessing to the new work and to the Paul's family and also the new believers in that area. Some of you might have heard the news that Rebbe Paul's father went to be with the Lord. So the Pauls are traveling to India. Pray that they may receive all the peace and consolation from the Lord, and the Lord's name may be glorified in the funeral and in the burial services. We are also so excited to hear that today we are celebrating ELBC's 30th birthday. So we have every reason to praise God and to thank God and to think about our responsibility to fortify the assembly through the word of God and to channelize deeper truths of God's word to God's people, and especially to the coming and to the growing generation in this assembly. So I'm starting a new series, and those each time when I take it, it will be a self-contained unit, so the discontinuity will not affect it in any way. That is the Church Truth series, Setting Things in Order. And the first message will be from Titus, as I was reading and studying the pastoral epistles again, about the biblical mandate for godly leadership in the church. I would like to share some interesting and thought-provoking introduction to my message. Last month, I was talking to a young man, and he was sharing about his life and his ministry, how the Lord called him to serve him, and how the Lord is using him in his local assembly for the growth and edification of that assembly. So he told me, "Uncle, I don't want to be an itinerant preacher like you. That is not my calling. My calling is to be in my assembly and to build up the assembly." So I asked him, "So you might be one of the elders of the assembly, right?" He said, "No, not yet. But the Lord is preparing me for that." And the elders of the assembly asked him to join the oversight. Now, listen to this young man's reply to the elders, and that was very thought-provoking to me. He said, "Brothers, the Lord is also exercising my heart towards the responsibilities of the oversight in this assembly. But before that, let us first teach our assembly about biblical eldership and spiritual leadership, so that when I become an elder, people would be able to know what are my responsibilities, what are my duties, how they should respect my office, how they should pray for me and my family. And I also must be aware of what is the expectation of the congregation concerning my role and responsibilities. And if the people's mind are blank about it, I think that won't happen. So first, let us start teaching about biblical eldership in the assembly, and at the end of it, I will prayerfully consider joining the oversight." I have never heard a reply like that from anyone. And that really was, and we had a very long conversation in relation to that matter. Some years ago, I was invited in a very prominent flourishing assembly here in North America, fairly large assembly, and I was invited there for the first time to minister the word of God. And because of my seminars on leadership and my interest in this topic, the elders asked me, most of them were quite unfamiliar to me, we knew of each other but did not know personally, and some of my friends in that assembly introduced me to them. So they told me, Brother Alex, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we will have 3 days of studies, and if the Lord exercises your heart, we need some encouraging thoughts about the government of the church and the leadership of the church. So with the fear and trembling, as it was a new place, I shared what the Lord laid on my heart. And I hope we were all richly blessed. And at the end of the series of meeting, to my surprise, I'm not joking, this really happened. The most senior elder came to me, and he's with the Lord now. And he told me, Brother Alex, I keep a file, a record of all the messages preached in this assembly for the last 40 years. Can you believe that? And he was such a dedicated shepherd. And he brought me that record, that file. And with a very in trembling voice and in all humility, like, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He's such a great man of God, you know, and he has done tremendous service to the people of God as a faithful elder. But this is what he told me. As I was going through the record of 40 years, I could not find a single message on biblical eldership and spiritual leadership. And he clasped my hand and said, I'm saying this to my shame, forgive me. That was, I didn't reply to that, and because I didn't know how to make a reply, and especially to such an honorable man of God. But I was amazed at his humility and his straightforwardness and his confession he made. And he also told me that many able men have ministered in this assembly all these years. Now, we are going to look at, as we have been singing, about the church. The church is the God's dearest possession. And the church is the only authorized divine agency upon the face of this earth to carry out his ministry, the work of the Lord, the redemptive plan of God. There are many parachurch organizations and many other groups commendably doing the work of the Lord, and we praise the Lord for them, and God is blessing those ministries also. But in the light of divine revelation, the church is the only officially authorized representative and authorized agency, ordained and appointed by the Lord, the only agency to carry out the work of the Lord. So the health of the assembly, the leadership of the assembly, the worship of the assembly, the meetings of the assembly should be considered as of prime importance. And the dignity and the solemnity of the gathering of the assembly must be maintained. And church truths should be taught in the assembly regularly. One of my own reservations in this was that, you know, I personally would like to give Bible exposition that are more related to our practical day-to-day life, as I and all of us who have shared the word of God here have done. But sometimes when we do that, we forget the didactic, the teaching element, the teaching responsibility to equip the assembly in the deeper truth of God's word. Now, We do that during the Bible studies, of course, but we know that 60% of the assembly is not present here to listen to that. So I have the conviction, and I hope you share in that conviction, that anything that is very urgent and significant and important to the whole assembly should be taught consecutively and preached during the time of the word ministry. I don't think there can be any sustainable argument against that policy. So because of the need, and because of many of our young people, children and grandchildren growing up in this assembly, as we celebrate God's 30 years of goodness and faithfulness, they must be equipped and trained in church truth and everything related to the church, so that they may have a fair, good grasp of ecclesiology, biblical ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, and the divine expectation for all believers, for elders, and also about the various responsibilities of believers in the assembly. And that should give us a spiritual inspiration and a momentum to happily serve the Lord. So that is my prayer as I open the word this morning. I know it was a long introduction to prepare our hearts. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, as we read in your holy word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. And as we open that word, we pray that thou may minister to our personal needs and our collective needs. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, setting things in order, that phrase comes from Titus chapter 1, verse 5. So we will read Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, biblical mandate for godly leadership in the local assembly. I will read verses 5 through 9 from the New King James Translation, Titus 1. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting or missing or lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be, or overseer, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We will primarily look at verse 5 and about the qualifications. We find another list in 1 Timothy chapter 3. At a later time, we will look at that. We know the significance and the importance of the pastoral epistles, giving instructions about the conduct in the household of God, and gives and describes the organizational structure and the leadership of the local assembly. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete, the fourth largest Mediterranean island, to carry on the work in establishing assembly, in teaching assemblies, and in appointing elders in those assemblies. Now, I have purposely chosen this title, Biblical Mandate. In this passage, we find a mandate. A mandate is an official order, or a commandment, or a communication authorizing to carry out the instructions given by the commander. So this is not left to any man's whims and fancies or imagination. It is a divine mandate the Spirit of God gives to Titus through Apostle Paul. And Titus in Crete and Timothy in Ephesus are not simply serving brothers there, they are apostolic delegates, official representatives of the apostles, carrying to some extent an apostolic authority in that transitional period where the New Testament churches were being formed and established. And the Word of God was not completed at that time. The New Testament was being written at that time. So there were prophets and apostles in the assemblies to give new instruction and divine revelation. And people like Timothy and Titus were mentored and trained and equipped by the apostle to carry out the ministry. So, verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete. If you read in the original text, for this express purpose. This is the priority reason. This is the most important reason I left you in Crete. Paul and Timothy were together in Crete. Now Paul is not with, sorry, Titus. Now Paul is not with Titus. And Titus has come back to Crete. And I left you there, dear Titus, for this urgent purpose. There is a sense of urgency in Paul's words. For this reason, for this very cause, for this very express purpose, I left you in Crete. Why did I leave you? Not simply to teach and to preach and to disciplize and to evangelize. Those are very important responsibilities and all of us must carry out that. But after preaching the gospel, after assemblies are established, the apostolic practice was to make sure that the assemblies have proper leadership. Now, the leadership issue is still a missing link in our ecclesiology in many assemblies. That is why so much confusion and division and problems happen in many assemblies, because there is no clear, no clarity, no clear understanding about it. Everybody has their own opinions about it, and no much emphasis is placed. In my own experience, I can say that in 45 years of ministry, I would say this is a missing link in many, many places. Because people don't talk about it, people take it very casually. But look at the divine mandate here. I left you in Crete for this very express purpose. The first thing you must do in Crete, Titus, is that you should set in order the things that are lacking, wanting, or the things that remain. That means when we were together, that is, Paul and Titus were together in the island of Crete, in the assemblies, they were able to do certain ministries together, to do some ordering, structuring, teaching, and equipping. But Paul was not able to complete that. So Paul did not tell Titus that, okay, wait till I come. No, I have trained you, I have equipped you, and I have instructed you so that you can complete the work which we have started. What a commendable, what a glorious testimony about the apostle's heart and his ministry and his burden. That people who were with him, they were intentionally trained and equipped. I know that that's not a very popular thing in assemblies when I say that, that people who need to take responsibilities must be intentionally trained. They must be equipped. They must be specifically instructed. Without taking for granted that somehow or other they will do it. That is not the impression the Word of God gives us. That people who carry on responsibilities must be properly trained. They must be equipped. They must be taught. So Paul is telling Titus that I left you in Crete. I have great confidence you can do it. To set in order. Very important word. a set in order, it is from the root word in Greek that we get the word ortho. That is, you know, like an orthodontist. An orthodontist is one who fixes the crooked tooth and makes the proper alignment. And also the orthopedic surgeon, one who set the bone straight, that is the word. So the ortho-related English word is derived from this word. So look at the beauty of the vocabulary the Holy Spirit uses. I left you in Crete to straighten out, to set in order the broken bones, the broken limbs, the crooked teeth, you know, spiritually speaking, so that everything may be properly aligned, and as an assembly, we may be able to function effectively and smoothly. What a glorious teaching. What a glorious mandate is there. I left you in Crete so that we may set in order. So God is the God of order. He is the God of edification, building up. He is not the God of indiscipline. So doing things orderly and in a disciplined way for the building up of the body of Christ is a mandate. You know, whether we preach, whether we teach, whether we sing, we are not doing it just to fill up time or to give opportunities to people. We are doing it to encourage the assembly, to build up the assembly, and to strengthen the assembly, and to help the assembly in its organization and discipline, vision, motivation, and inspiration for greater ministries ahead. That is the authority of God's word, and it makes it very clear. That is the joy and beauty of Bible exposition. You just look into the word of God and expound what the text is saying, rather than bringing out our ideas and our traditions into it. The Titus, for this express purpose, I left you in Crete, so that you may straighten out the things that are missing. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate 30 years, I do not know whether there is anything to straighten out and smoothen in this assembly. Probably the elders will know more. But if the Lord convicts us, that not in a dictatorial way, but in a gracious way, in a loving way, through the means of the word of God, and by the grace of God, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, we are called to straighten out, to smoothen, and to fill up, and to make sure that these things are taught and understood so that people can function smoothly, effectively, and we will be edified. Not only for this assembly, I'm emphasizing it in a personal context because this is my local assembly. Some of you visitors, you come from other assemblies. This is a divine mandate. And this mandate, this truth given to Titus 2000 plus years ago, has come to us as the word of God. And these principles are transcultural and transgenerational. It is the word of God for India, for Africa, for Canada, for USA, for Africa, for every place. This is the word of God. And the word of God tells, for this reason I left you in Crete, for this very express purpose, that you should set in order the things that are missing, lacking, and wanting. And what is the most important thing that is lacking? And what is the first priority? The first thing you should do, you must appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. That is number one responsibility. Not that you kind of, you know, formalize the worship and the pattern and the women's ministry. Those are all important. But if those things have to be in place, first there should be God appointed, God called, divinely called and gifted and equipped leaders of the assembly. So that is why Paul is writing to Crete. Before setting in order many other things, the first thing, brothers and sisters, the first thing in a local assembly is its spiritual leadership. I say that in all authority, under the authority of God's word. That is the first thing. That is the key to the blessing of the assembly. That is the key to the growth of the assembly. That is the key to the discipline of the assembly, to the ministry of the assembly. So we believers, that reminds us about the responsibility to pray for those who are in leadership, and also to pray for the future generation, that after our present elders and leaders, that God may raise up godly, gifted, called and committed men to this office, so that they may continue the ministry that is started 30 years ago. For this reason, I left you in Crete, so that you may set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders. Priority ministry for Titus. Priority ministry, number one, the most significant thing. You know, we are all immensely blessed by our parents, our fathers and our mothers. They have shaped our life. You know, and many of us, we probably all of us can testify to that fact, for our character, for our conduct, for our values, for our spiritual growth. And we heard the gospel, many of us, first time from our parents, and how they have influenced our life and how they have shaped our life. They are VIPs in our life. In the same way, the spiritual leaders, they impact and they influence. They are like mothers and fathers to the people of God and to the believers, to bring them up in the fear of God, to minister to them, to care for them, to teach them, to discipline them, to correct them, and to instruct them. So their place is like parents, very significant, very, very important. In our assemblies, like anyone can be an elder and leader, we take these things very casually. In denominational system, we know that even though that is not scriptural, they have a more of a very reverential approach to these matters. But when we take it, in many places I have seen that there is no seriousness in these matters, that anyone, you know, they take it very casually. So this passage actually rebukes us, that kind of casual, unholy, irreverential attitude to spiritual leadership. Brothers and sisters, this is a forgotten truth in our assemblies, in many places. That is the reason we hear about divisions, you know, because people do not know how to recognize and appoint elders. When there is a leadership transition, even in our own city, we have seen how it has created havoc in assemblies. The reason is, they have so many other things and understanding, but when it comes to leadership, their knowledge of it is zero, because they have not taken these truths very seriously. Titus, your first responsibility is to appoint elders. KJV translation, ordain, you know, the Church of England ecclesiastical influence is reflected in that. But that word does not really mean kind of an ecclesiastical ordination. It means an official appointment and an official recognition. Not like the churchy ecclesiastical ordination about which we hear quite a lot about today. So in order that you might appoint elders, come with me to Acts chapter 6, where the same word is used. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, in the appointment of the deacons or the proto-deacons, Acts chapter 6, verse 3, we read, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may," not ordain, "we may appoint." It is the same word. We may appoint, but that appointment is usually to an official appointment for a very important office or ministry. And we should not downplay the importance. Now, when rejecting the word ordination, we should not also, should not take things to the other extreme, that it is just a casual recognition. No, it is an official recognition. It is an official appointment. It is officially prayed and announced and recognized in the assembly. And that is very important because it is a solemn responsibility. And that office is to be a very important office for ministry. Now, another very important observation from this passage is always the plurality, not elder. We know that the New Testament always speaks about the plurality of elders and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. That means that this is very important. As I commanded you, I is in the emphatic position in the Greek text. So that means I, you know, Titus, you know, I. Apostle, with an all authority, Apostle Paul, I have commanded you. And that commandment is from the Lord under the apostolic authority. I, you commanded, that is the word order in the Greek text. You know, I, in the emphatic position that Paul is not taking an ego trip about his authority, but he is highlighting the divine origin of that authority as an apostle. As I commanded you. To me, that is very important. When you appoint elders, when you bring people to this office and recognize them, when you teach about it, you know, it has to be done as I commanded you. That means Timothy and Titus should not, Titus in Crete and Timothy in Ephesus, they should not imagine, they should not create their own ideas, okay, how to appoint elders, how to recognize elders. They should not muddle through their various ways, and it is not left up to their imagination. That means Paul has taken time to equip these men with the doctrine of eldership and with the required character and the requirements and maybe many other further teachings, so that they already know how to go in this business of appointing and recognizing elders. Timothy has been, Titus has been thoroughly trained and equipped and specially instructed on how to do this. That is the emphasis of the word, I commanded you, I directed you, I ordered you, that I have already ordered you, commanded you, instructed you. So my understanding of teaching, training, and equipping comes from passages like this. You know, that is, people need to be trained intentionally and should be equipped with the Word of God, with practical guidelines and with the doctrinal guidelines in relation to their ministry responsibilities. The New Testament supports it, the New Testament promotes it, and there is ample evidence for it in the New Testament. That should not be a matter left up to us to, you know, imagine how we can do this. No. Clear instructions are there, and if we are willing, we can come together, learn and study and empower and equip one another in relation to, especially in relation to leadership roles and responsibilities. So, as I commanded to you, to me, that is very important in relation to the understanding of this passage. That is, Titus has been thoroughly taught and thoroughly instructed, and Paul didn't leave Titus and Timothy to muddle their way through and figure out, okay, oh, Paul, I'm in Ephesus, by the way. Timothy is saying, Titus is saying, oh, I'm in the island of Crete. Let me figure out how I should do this. No, don't figure out. Assemblies are figuring out through their own traditions. So their own bad practices which has happened in the past. Don't figure out. This is not a matter to figure out. It is given to us as a divine mandate. And that mandate must be followed. What a precious truth. Just one verse. How heavy. It's a heavyweight champion in relation to leadership studies. For this reason, I left you in the island of Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Another observation, the text doesn't specify how that appointment was done. You know, let us turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. The usual apostolic practice was to preach the gospel, establish assembly, and appoint elders. They took it very seriously, the leadership. The New Testament assemblies in the first century took the leadership very, very seriously. Okay? The apostles took it seriously. Chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. And when they had preached that the missionary team, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church, after evangelization, church planting, and some basic teaching, the first and the foremost and the priority and the most important thing to the apostles was to appoint elders. Leadership was very important in apostolic ecclesiology. You know, so what did they do? When they, verse 23, they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They took it very seriously. They prayed, they fasted, they sought God's will, they tarried in His presence, took enough time, and the appointment was carried out with prayer and fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we do not know all the details of how the appointment was done. According to the Jewish practice, usually there might have been a laying on of hands. So another principle here, when the word of God does not clearly spell out a procedural matter, the how-to matter, that means we have flexibility in that. So in this assembly, you have seen how we recognize elders, how we announce it, and how we pray for them. And I have seen in some other assemblies, they do it a little differently. It's okay, because when there is no clear mandate and instructions are given in relation to the procedures, that means we have freedom and flexibility in the light of God's word, without contradicting God's word. The last four Sundays, I worshipped in four different assemblies. Some of them little bit different from the way we do the worship and remembrance here. Why? Because the Lord only made one statement, "Do this in remembrance of me," period. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And the exact procedure of how we do it, that is left up to us. When I baptized a young man some years ago, his father told me that I should have asked him few more questions, because he has a pattern of, you know, certain things. To him, that is the only way to baptize the person. What does the word of God say? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we ask them to give a testimony, ask them few questions, and in some places they make it a little more elaborate. It's okay, because there is freedom and flexibility. When you think that the only way, your way is the only way, that creates problem. And that is one of the reasons many assemblies have problems. In things that are not clearly revealed, the how to appoint, you know, Paul did not elaborate on that. But they were appointed, and elders were appointed. Then in verses 6 to 9, their qualifications are given. And we know another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first 7 verses, we read about the various qualifications of the elders that are given. In this passage, according to New King James Version, 18 qualifications are mentioned. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe there are 15 qualifications are mentioned. And there is, you know, it's a parallel passage, 1 Timothy and Titus 1. And the important observation I want to make here is, in 1 Timothy, the qualifications are spelled out for the sake of those who are desiring to be elders, because the assemblies are more stable in Ephesus. And if any man aspires to be an elder, so the qualifications in 1 Timothy are for the benefit of those who aspire to be in leadership position. But in Titus, new assemblies, and not much teaching is given about this. And the emphasis in Titus, as I understand it, is that it should be a guide to Titus and the believers for the recognition of the elders. In 1 Timothy, more in recognition for the sake of the, for the blessing and benefit of those who are aspiring for leadership. But in Titus, it is for the sake of Titus and the believers in the assemblies in Crete. Brothers and sisters, such an important passage, setting things in order. I hope and pray that we may take these instructions in the Word of God seriously, and we may train our young generation in these matters. And the reason I wanted brothers and sisters and wives and aunties and uncles and little ones, everyone to hear it, because they must know about these truths. And this is also one way for us to pray for our elders and to support them, to honor them. And when God raises up new elders, what are the qualifications? What should be our expectation? They themselves should be aware of it. The assembly should be aware of it. And it is a serious matter, so that the assembly's health and its blessing primarily depends upon it. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the instructions in the book of Titus in relation to leadership. And we pray that as we have studied this passage, thy blessing may be upon us, and for individually as families and collectively as an assembly, that this teaching may be beneficial to all of us in a very special way. We at this time also very specially pray for those who have special needs in our assembly, and we praise you for our 30 years of life and ministry here, and pray that thou may continue to enlarge the borders of our assembly. Pray for Rebe Paul and her family, and we especially pray that thy comfort and consolation may be ministered to them during their time of sorrow. We pray that our time to follow in fellowship and in taking part in the fellowship lunch, that we may be blessed and edified and enjoy sweet fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.